Hi everyone, thank you for listening to From the Fryer. I'm Ellie.
This is Leon. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this exciting episode.
Today we'll be talking about Season 6, Episode 10, Shadows of Doubt. Just a heads up, today might be a little bit short. We're having a heat wave here in the Northwest, and we had to turn our AC off for recording, so I think we're going to try to get through it a little bit quick, but not too much.
Yeah, these mics tend to pick up everything, so...
There's no way we can have that rattling.
AC's a little bit loud.
Any updates this week?
Besides the heat wave.
The heat wave's the big one. I'm just constantly watering plants.
Nothing crazy.
I have no fun updates other than just trying to stay cool and make sure everyone around me is staying cool.
Yeah, we got one of those. We had an in-wall AC unit, which has been a champ for like over a year now, I think. By the way, just a personal experience. We got this LG in-wall AC. Incredible. Huge thumbs up. If anyone hits us up for the model number, we'll give it to you, but huge thumbs up. We got this portable one. It is so fucking loud.
I'm getting rid of it the first chance I can. I need a replacement.
Now, I know it's loud because the in-wall ones or the window ones have the...
At least they're partially outside.
Have the pieces outside, yeah. So you know a lot of the sound is sort of exterior. But since everything's built into these portable ones... it's so loud. And I'm sure some are quieter, but honestly, I have a feeling that almost all of these
are loud. They're not that loud. This is absurdly loud and there's a weird rattling, but it produces cold air, so it's fine right now. I don't care.
That's like the compressor or the basically whatever spools up the AC.
I don't know what makes
running.
Cold air work. I know I plug it in and
it
works.
The one pro is that you can move it from room to room.
That is nice.
And I've been using it in our office. We have this server that basically puts out a little bit of heat. It's basically a computer. It's just a computer that puts out heat. But since we can move it, we put it into our office, and I have to use these like noise canceling headphones to try to mimic the sound because it's so loud.
He's brave. He'll do Teams calls with this thing blaring.
So I tested this with a coworker. Pretty much everyone hates whether it's Zoom, Teams, WebEx, whatever. Everyone hates their tool at work. No matter what it is, they hate it. If you use WebEx, you hate WebEx. If you use Teams, you hate Teams. If you use Zoom, you hate Zoom. But I was testing this with a coworker. The built-in noise cancellation feature on Teams is actually really, really good. This AC unit, I can't fathom how loud it is. It's like if you had those ghetto fans just that you kind of, it spins around.
That is not comparable.
It's like if you had 10 of those on, that's the sound this thing
And then
outputs.
Add some clanking.
Yeah. It's like if you had 10 of those fans around you, that's the noise this thing's producing. And this thing's right behind me. So I asked my coworker like, hey, can you hear like a fan or anything? And they told me they couldn't hear a thing.
I don't trust that. You have to ask multiple people. What if this person's I hear nothing.
Just a little excitement in our lives.
Pro tip, never trust the mute button. Always assume that you are on.
Yeah, definitely. Be careful, you teleworkers out there working from home.
I feel like it's burned so many people assuming your camera is off and you're on mute.
I've heard people like flushing toilets, you know, just...
There's been horrible viral situations. Just always assume that it's on. Everything's on at all times.
Definitely.
Okay, let's just get into it. Season 6, Episode 10, Shadows of Doubt. We'll start with Brandon and Julia. Julia dressed Brandon today. He looks, I wanted to say very Tom Cruise-like, but strange.
Actually, that's a good one. Tom Cruise-like,
because it's the sunglasses.
But like ghetto 007.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But it's just weird, and it's probably hot. I don't know.
I was blown away that he even owned a turtleneck.
Julia might have gotten it for him. Got him the whole look.
I could definitely see that.
So Julia's kind of sticker shocked by the apartment cost. Julia paid $100 a month in Russia for her rent. So let's
set the stage. They're driving to go see an apartment.
Yes.
It's in maybe Richmond or one of the towns.
It's a big. I think it's bigger than Dinfuckle or wherever the fuck they're at. I don't know. Dinwiddle. I don't even know the name of the town right now.
They're heading over there. It seems to be a pretty nice place. It ends up being a 3-bedroom apartment.
Absurdly huge. So 3 bedrooms. Was it 1 bathroom with just a double vanity or was it 2 bathrooms?
Having 3 bedrooms is probably a master. So it's probably a master.
Oh, you're right. Okay. And a walk-in closet, right? Or there was 2 separate closets.
I think so. And
she says this is exactly what we need. And it's 1,200 square foot and $1,800 a month.
I mean, that's basically the size of a house.
That's almost the size of this house.
That's almost the size of our house. And our house is like...
It's not very big. But no. I don't think that's what they need. Just being two people, no pets, no kiddos. I just don't see them needing this much space, personally.
And the apartment looks super nice.
It is a very cute apartment. So, I did like it. I mean, of course, you go to that and it's beautiful and it's modern and it's updated. Yeah, I would also fall in love with that. Washer and dryer in unit, super critical.
This reminds me of one of those episodes of like House Hunters. There's always one house you look at, it's stupid expensive, it's everything you want. Then there's the super ghetto house that's like...
That could have been us on House Hunters and where I throw a fit and get the house I want.
Then there's like the ghetto house that's super run down and you're like, it needs a lot of work. And then there's like the middle ground house where you're like, yeah, this is the
we could best fix of both it up, worlds, I guess. Yeah.
So they tell her the price...
She still wants it. It doesn't matter. She still wants it after that price.
What was the cost of the apartment?
$1,800 a month. And I don't know if that includes utilities. They didn't go into that. I don't know. I assume some utilities are included.
It's a very nice place. Very big. When I lived in Utah, I think I paid around $700 for yeah. like a one bedroom. Which maybe they should be aiming more towards that size.
Even if they wanted to do a two bedroom, that would still probably be definitely. Okay.
Maybe two bedrooms or maybe 1,200 and they're out of here. I don't know.
Exactly. It'll just three. It just seems like such overkill if they're not going to have a roommate.
$1,800, you're already bordering on mortgage territory, if not way above what some people might pay.
Depending on where you live, yeah.
Julia has this whole, I like this place, so I'll help pay for it. But in Brandon's point of view, I guess, you know, either Brandon doesn't make that much money. I mean, I'm just gathering that from his dad's, you know, just calling him out like, okay, you go try to afford... You know, living on your paycheck. But Julia, you don't have a job yet. So
no.
This is all going to be on Brandon.
Perfect segue. Julia has an interview at the gym to be dance instructor.
This was...
I absolutely hate interviewing, so I totally get her anxiety, everything like that. I absolutely hate interviews. I almost...
Part of it goes back to when we talked about where they're kind of immature. I mean, like...
I mean, I also hate interviews.
Well, you've also never asked me to come with you on an interview.
I have not had you drive me. Oh my God. I was going to ask you, how do you feel about Brandon walking her into the interview?
That was weird.
Even that. So he drew the line and was like, I can't go with you. Because she was like, come with me. But it's so weird that he even walked her in. Okay. So I do interview people for our department. And if someone had their significant other walk them in, massive red flag immediately. That would be a bad impression to me. How about you?
Maybe they're very, very shy. That's the only thing I can give to them.
And I can't have that. You can be shy, but your team dynamic, you can't be dependent.
The gym seemed to be very...
They were very nice.
Very accommodating.
Yeah, they were great.
For the setup. I did not know what to expect. So I thought Julia was going to do some kind of like a floor routine or something. Like
how so? Like aerobic?
Yeah, but not...
Or like
not
Zumba.
Not like Zumba.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was going to be something more aerobic.
So... I assumed it was going to be something like, you know how gymnasts, they do their flip dance thing, but without the flips, right? They
well, do like the dance. I didn't think she was going to do that.
They do the dance portion, and then there's the flip portion. I thought it was going to be more like just the dance portion, but you're kind of going through a stage, right?
No, and it's for like a dance class, I guess.
Right. And those are like Zumba or, you know, hey, do this or just, move and then squat. Yeah. And then you squat as you're doing the dance. And then
I don't know what that's called.
You're doing like a leg lift because it's working out your core.
You're using 2 pound weights or, you know, whatever.
And then she brings out the heels and I think, oh my God.
It looked great. I will say she's wonderful at what she does. Like she does dance very well. She brought it down to the floor even. Doing great. But yeah, I don't see older ladies and like people that just want to do a basic workout really wanting to get like down and hardcore squat and hair flips.
The manager, you know, he sort of, how would you teach this to me, for example?
Exactly.
And
Which is a great question.
He made a good point. Like a lot of people doing these classes might not be able to get down the floor like that. You might want to.
Oh my God. You know what she would be so good at actually? She probably doesn't need a certification if she taught like striptease classes.
Oh, interesting.
Like, you know, at those pole dancing studios? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she would be so good.
That'd be pretty interesting.
I need to DM her. But no, I thought the routine was great. I don't know if it's appropriate for their demographic of women that are coming in for a 30-minute quick, I assume more Zumba-like dance class.
You never know. Maybe this will lead to her, like, some kind of underdog story where, like, sexy dance is in and then she just blows
Honestly, she should just go the sexy dance route instead of this certification thing. She should do women empowerment, sexy dance moves.
So you told me that she can't read English?
So I thought that was one of the things that they talked about previously, but this is coming from Brandon, who's an asshole about her English. So I don't want to say that's truth, but in a previous episode, he talked about like, oh, you can't read or write it well.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Her doing these certifications may be an issue if she has to get these books and then take this exam.
If it's all online, it might be these guided lessons. So you can kind of go at your own speed. I mean, the manager kind of alluded to, you know,
if
you're a quick learner, you can finish in like a month or whatever. So yeah, maybe.
Oh my God, she should just totally go all in on her go-go dancing and teach like her own women empowerment, people empowerment. Men can take it, that's fine. People empowerment classes. The class was actually described as being like a strength training dance class. And so that isn't really what Julia's doing, but I think she would be good at it if she got some pointers maybe from another instructor or maybe maybe sat in on a class.
Even the course she would most likely take, I'm sure they talk about safety guidelines and
I think it's so the gym doesn't get sued and they can be like, this person is certified.
You're probably right. It probably doesn't teach you like, well, maybe, I mean, depends on the certification. Some might actually be more geared to like proper muscle development.
Techniques or something.
Technique, so.
Yeah, I would be interested in seeing what these exams entail. So we'll see. She needs to do some certification, take these exams. But in the episode, they didn't really talk about if she was going to go that route. She was more frustrated that there was kind of another obstacle, which I can understand.
She's like, damn it, America, you need goddamn certifications. I'd understand if I was going to be a doctor.
Oh, yeah, or a lawyer. Yeah. And I get that. It is frustrating. She just wants to work. Andre and Libby. So Andre is telling Becky to come out and talk to him in the wood, which is creepy, but whatever.
Did you think it was dramatic?
It was dramatic. Libby is correct for once. Unnecessarily dramatic. Is my continuing theme, as I like to point out. This is the exact same fight in a new location. Now we have moved it from the last episode where it's in the RV. We're moving it into the woods now.
Between Becky, Charlie, Chuck, and Andre, they've had the same argument like 10 times.
Yeah, now throw season, Charlie in there. Season. Yeah.
This is like the entire season storyline.
It's exactly my point. It's the same exact argument, same exact storyline every single episode.
Isn't it kind of crazy that by now they still can't like either get over it or figure it out or whatever their future's going to be?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's been some time.
Yeah. It's so dumb. So nothing gets resolved outside. Becky keeps saying this isn't her fault, but it's totally her fault. She didn't need to say anything. It's not her business. It's Chuck's. Get over it. You have your portion. Do your portion. Nothing's happening to your portion.
Someone mentioned it on Pillow Talk. They're like, this ain't fucking Becky LLC. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah.
Veronica's the best. Yeah. Yes.
At the end of the day, this is fucking Chuck's business. Yeah, so this is not your business. He could fire you if he wanted to.
Becky said one thing and it completely opened my eyes to what I feel is the true root cause of everyone's issue here.
Talk to me.
Jealousy. It's pure jealousy. Becky said, I had a lot of ideas when I came to this and he didn't care about any of that. And now Andre comes along. I'm like, oh, okay, so that's where all of this is coming from. You all are just very jealous adult children of this person. Yeah, because he's more open to Andre. And you know what? That's not Andre's fault.
You know,
it's annoying, but it's not his fault.
It's also funny because Andre's ideas, he doesn't really like have ideas. It's just like
he just kind of agrees with Chuck and like sucks up.
He's like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's make some money. Eventually, they move on. They get to the house. I guess that I calculated from the last.
You
podcast,
calculated way off.
Way off. I was assuming like 60 miles an hour going from this location to this location. They said it was like 16-hour drive
just for North Carolina.
Yeah, that's quite a long time to be in an RV.
Also, they should have stayed at a hotel because everyone had their own space. They should not have stayed in an Airbnb together.
It's probably cheaper, though.
They want to flaunt all this money. Who cares?
I hear you. Maybe it would have made sense. But they got an Airbnb or whatever.
It was awful.
They got there. Everyone's bitching.
Everyone's bitching.
Go to the bathroom. I don't know.
So here's the main thing that happened the next morning. So it sounded like Olivia was cleaning up for breakfast and she was under the impression that Andre was watching Eleanor. Libby came into the room. Eleanor was halfway up the stairs, tripped, and Libby caught her as she was falling down the stairs.
I think she caught her almost as she's leaning backwards.
Probably. She probably like went up to get her and she tripped. But there's a couple issues here. So
let me get your thoughts and then I'll get mine.
Libby is saying you were supposed to watch her, but was that specifically designated because...
Or was it assumed?
That's where I'm going with this. Exactly. Was it assumed? Because Andre did the same fucking thing. Andre said, well, that your whole family's in this house. Someone should, could have, you know, watched her. Just because there's people around doesn't mean those people are watching your kid. Not only are their kids here as well, but don't assume that your child is being watched just because people are around. It's kind of that thing where you really do have to assign someone, hey, I'm running to the bathroom, watch Eleanor. So I think Andre is embarrassed and honestly mad that everyone's dogging on him. So he's pushing back. He will not admit he's wrong. Period. That's not new.
True.
Libby's blowing it up. Libby's totally blowing it up. Accidents happen. Granted, like, yeah, she's pissed at Andre.
Before they gave us more detail, I thought the little daughter actually, like, hit her head.
Yeah, exactly. I did, too, with how hardcore everyone was yelling.
But then you find out nothing...
Nothing happened. Which I feel like should have de-escalated it. Like, why are we... Maybe... I say this as someone not in the situation. Like, let's learn from this. Let's learn, hey, we need to talk about who is watching the kids at what time. Versus, let's blow up about something that didn't even happen.
That's not good TV.
That's true. Good communication is not good TV, I'm learning.
I thought, okay, right there. The whole moment was pretty much everyone's at fault. No one's going to say they're at fault.
No. Everyone's blaming Andre. And Andre's fighting back. But
in reality, it's almost like everyone's at fault. Because Olivia assumed it was going to be Andre. Andre assumed people were watching. Everyone's... I would even say the other people, well, hey, you also are adults and you saw like a little kid going upstairs. That's like, true. Hey,
but also, like, what if they didn't see her going up the stairs? Because they were with their own kids taking care of them and no one was around.
This whole scene was totally blown up by Libby.
Yeah.
Because I really thought the daughter would like hurt or like something happened, but she was like, she started leaning backwards or sort of fell backwards and I caught her just in time.
That was the whole thing, yeah.
You should be happy you caught her just in time and your daughter didn't get hurt.
Like, I understand snapping at your husband, but
she's chilling. Almost like, no, she was crying.
She was crying because Libby was screaming.
Exactly.
Libby didn't make like it a big deal.
Your kid's feeling that energy and... Now your kid's crying, but your kid would have probably just been fine and just chilling.
As a non-mother, as I will always say, I don't want to be too critical, but I feel like if a kid like lightly falls or something, like you shouldn't hover. Because then they're going to be like so not only attached, but they're like waiting to see if you respond. Mm. I don't think that you should always...
I don't know. I haven't read like how to parent book, so...
It's just from what I noticed of friends of like, they're okay. They like tripped. They caught themselves. They're cool.
Gotcha.
But they're like... They trip, they look over to see what you're going to do, and then they continue on their way. So maybe they just don't constantly hover. So I think here's the thing. Something that Libby also says is Andre's, you know, I don't know why he's acting like this. Andre acts like this all the fucking time. This is not different. And of course he's going to react this way when everyone has already been dogpiling on him. And now we have another reason. And your wife, who is like slightly on your side, is now yelling at you too.
The more I watch the show, I do see that Andre... He gets a lot thrown at him. Like, everything's always his fault.
Yeah. So, I watched the pillow talk today of the RV, you know, getting ready to go. And something I notice is they all treat him like he's their servant. Get my bag. Why is the RV like this? Why are you doing this? Why are you driving like that? Like, he is a part of your family, whether you like it or not. He's not your servant. He's not the help. He's not your driver. He's not hired by you. I would not be cool either if someone was constantly treating me that way. And then while I'm trying to get into the family business, granted his tactics are not the best.
Hey, something I thought was funny. I'm going back to the RV scene when they're outside. Or, you know, Andre's telling Becky to come outside and talk. Well, he's, you know, they're yelling back and forth. Becky's husband's like, is he yelling at my wife out there or what?
Oh, he would never do a thing.
The door was fucking open. You could hear the whole conversation. Yeah. Don't act... Fake act macho. What your bitch ass gonna do? Nothing.
He'll be your ass and Charlie's ass. It doesn't matter.
I just thought that was really funny. I was like, sit your ass down. let the big people talk.
Andre calls himself a ticking time bomb, and I agree. I mean, who wouldn't be if they're constantly being dogged on? He's an asshole too, so it's just the perfect storm. Nothing else really happened with them this episode. It was the same fight over and over again, new location, and then some blown out drama. Also, Libby's sister's having an opinion on what should have happened is bullshit. Like, stay out of their fight. If you weren't there to help, do not egg it on. Do not be like, yeah, Andre should have been watching her.
It's like a...
Not helping.
Telling a parent how to parent.
Not only that, but just... not helping the argument. Let's calm it down and be like, oh, I'll take Eleanor so you guys can talk, or let's go play. I don't know. Just there's so many things that could have been better, but it's always let's dog on Andre. So, all right, Jovi and Yara. Yara is back at Gwen's house. She is a little too spicy for me this episode. One of the first things she says when Gwen is trying to help her connect her MacBook to, I don't know, whatever. They're using the internet.
iChat, FaceChat, whatever.
Exactly. I'm sure it's FaceTime.
iTime.
So the first thing that Yara says is, you look like you're poor. What the fuck does that even mean? Okay, well, get your iPhone. Do it yourself. You don't need my computer. See, this is why.
Oh, we're going back to the.
I would not work well.
Like materialistic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I really like Yara, so it sucks to see her just being so materialistic. Which it's fine. I mean, she's never hid that about herself. It's not like she pretended not to be. We knew that right from the beginning.
Oh my gosh, she'd be the person like if somebody's wearing beat up shoes to do like work stuff or something. She'd be like, your shoes.
You're doing work stuff. You're poor.
Yeah.
You're cleaning your own house. You're packing for your own move. You're poor. I don't like that. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, it's weird.
Gwen is significantly more patient than I think most mother-in-laws would be.
Yeah, she's going above and beyond, I think.
She really is, especially with the comments added. Oh, no. I don't think many women would want to deal with that. Jovi let her know that he is staying a few more weeks at work, and he won't be home until the day after Christmas. So he can't even come home on, like, Christmas Eve.
That is nuts. Like, his work... So he's pretty much been gone, like, Thanksgiving. He's missing all this stuff.
Missing everything.
It's like, can we, like, not plan all this work during the holidays?
That's what I don't get. Why does the work have to be done during the holidays? I mean, I'm sure it does not matter. Like, they just don't give a shit about the holidays because the work needs to be done regardless of what day it is. Mm.
But that's a long time, man. I don't know how long total it's going to be, but I thought before it was going to be like a month.
Yeah, now it's going to be a few more weeks, which I assume is 3 to 4 more weeks. It sucks. I mean, I'm a big holiday person, so if anything's happening around the time of the holidays, I'm really bummed because... We will all be happy together. Right. We'll force fun. So Yara has to move out of the apartment by the end of the month. She says, I don't care what you want. I will decide everything on my own. Which, I mean, I guess if you're there most of the time and you're the one parenting most of the time.
While we were watching it, it almost seemed like damn, Joey's fucked up. Or like the timing's all wrong. And then, but he said, hey, I expected to be home by this time.
Yeah.
But then... He did say, well, she knew it was coming up.
Yeah, like, she chose not to resign.
Right.
So she knew, and she just has not packed yet, because I think she just wanted Jovi to do it.
So they found a spot, and I cannot wait to see Jovi.
Because he needs to be, like, in a city, and she chose...
Right, his mom's like, he's all about the action, you know, being right then and there.
And she chose a place 45 minutes away from their current location.
That's far as hell.
But it's a nicer apartment. It's way bigger. So that's
probably
nice.
Honestly way cheaper, if not the same cost.
It's probably the same cost, but like way bigger, like an actual bedroom for Myla and not like smashed into the corner. So I think it's more appropriate, especially
that's
for what Yara wants.
That's going to be a big change for a young guy that's lived in the city and now he's like...
And still wants to live in the city.
You know, suburbia.
How do you feel about Yara knowing she needed to pack and get ready, but she did nothing and waited for Gwen and Gwen's mom to come pack her apartment for her? And she said, oh, life is nice. People do everything for me.
It's weird because they have movers and usually movers do certain of those things
for you. I don't feel like they pack your clothes and stuff. I do not think residential.
But they're essentially just, no, they're just movers that the military just hires. So
yeah,
but
I feel like you guys get special little treatments.
No, they're doing all that. They give you certain tasks like, hey, can you do like things you should do? Maybe like, you know, clean out your garbage. Because I think... Whatever's there, they're packing.
Oh, I've witnessed the weird things that get packed.
Yeah, so if you got to make sure like certain
things... Like our junk drawer got packed and it was like loose screws and it was like this perfect, beautiful envelope of just like shit that I didn't need. So,
yeah, they give you like little tips on, hey, make sure certain things are cleaned out or things you don't want to be packed, like either get rid of them or specifically tell them...
Like this area, do
like,
not pack.
Either this room or this box... Do not pack, you know, this is my junk drawer. I just threw in this box. Don't pack that.
That's true.
But I think they really pack your clothes all nicely, especially if it's hung in your closet.
Oh, yeah. No, the clothes are always super nice.
It's packed all nice.
They, like, make the little hanger.
They disassemble pretty much everything they can, like, furniture-wise. They, like, sort of, bag everything and tape it on the actual piece of hardware. So, yeah, they do pretty good. They label everything.
So maybe it was TV drama. I'll give it to that as we, usually spot.
Maybe there was probably, I don't even know why they came over. They probably came over to help pack things she needed for.
Well, they have to drive her too.
Like immediate sort of need, like baby stuff. Like
makeup and the $500 hair dryer, of course.
Because I would imagine the movers do all that, but maybe I'm wrong.
I have no experience with movers.
Or maybe their version of movers are like, we're just taking boxes.
See, that's what I thought it was, because that's what they showed. But again, like, I don't know.
5 hours of the movers, like, bagging
stuff. Exactly. Like, it could totally be a TV drama.
But
I wanted to be pissed because don't make this old lady pack your stuff. It's not even your mother-in-law. It's like your grandmother-in-law. Like, it's weird.
But you like the apartment? The new spot?
New spot. Cute.
Cool.
Now I'm less mad now that I think it's for TV drama. Like, producers were like, Yara, sit there and be a queen.
I'm curious what town they moved to.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it's closer to Jovi and... Or excuse me, Jovi's mom. Or if it's further away, like opposite direction.
It's like the same town.
I don't think she wants to live in the bayou. She's made it clear she hates the bayou.
Yeah, she probably moved, like, inland.
So still, that's pretty much it for them. The call with the super sad news that Jovi has to work longer. New apartment. And yeah, I do think it's right that she gets to choose it because she's the one there. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, this one's spicy.
What we got?
Tiffany and Ronald.
Oh yeah, this was good. They had a good amount.
And I was so torn on like multiple things. We'll get into it though. Ronald and Daniel are working on getting the cardboard unstuck from the floor, which I don't understand how that happened. Like, you should have definitely painted yourself out of the room. Oh, I already can see what happened in my head. He did do that, and then he realized he needed to put furniture in.
Oh.
And then made these little spots so that he could, like, put stuff in.
Yeah.
Okay, I see it now. Man, see, that's what happens when you make a room in 24 hours. Aww. It's just not done the way it needs to be done. Another podcast brought up a really good point. The garage is probably really fucking hot.
Oh, for sure.
I did not even think about that because I was like, oh, it's not that bad. There's no windows. Like, it's fine. Whatever. The kid at least has his own space. But man, it's probably really hot.
Maybe if they keep the door open, it kind of gets there.
Hey, some maybe. Flow. Okay, you hopefully. Don't. Hey, I still stand by my original statement that I'm happy that they tried to give Daniel his own area. Because this kid, their only plan was he can sleep on the couch. That's not a plan.
No.
He's too old for that.
This isn't... And Ronald's like, stay for 3 months.
Yeah, so...
Okay, this is so not a two-three-month
plan. So I like
the
idea of Daniel having his own spot to get away from the craziness. It may not be the best execution, but it's something, and they tried. By they, I mean Ronald tried.
That's true. He does get half a point.
Yeah. So immediately right off the bat in this episode, we have a lot of thoughts and feelings from Tiffany about Ronald and him making this room and... The continuous theme of all of their seasons of money, money, money.
She is annoyed that he spent money to build the room and then she checks the fridge and it's totally empty. There's like 6 eggs.
I think there's very few, I don't want to dog on men, that's mean to say, but I don't think a lot of men would think far enough ahead to be like, I need to get groceries.
We don't.
So, I mean...
He's probably a bit stressed, and, you know, he got the room done, and he should have gotten, like, some essentials, I guess.
Something
like
I will say, exactly. I was going to say, well, it's different. He has a family, so I don't know why I'm trying to give him credit.
Even, so, at that point, Tiffany's doing something that I've witnessed. She's essentially testing him.
Oh, she's totally testing him. She wants to push him
and see, like, sort of what he's made of.
And that's never good. So, she's immediately... confronts him about having no groceries and how he should have been kind of more prepared. So he's already agitated. He's like, let's go to the grocery store right now. So they do go. I do not like how Tiffany acts like she's never been to South Africa. She's disgusted by the meat section. She doesn't know what things are, but she's been there multiple times.
They must have gone to the grocery store. They must have gone with her parents, like, we're barbecuing. You want to go to the grocery store with us? Come on.
So I thought that was super strange that she had so many reactions to the types of food available and specifically the meat section because it looked fine. Like, go to a butcher shop, there's chicken feet, there's tongue, there's liver. There's...
I mean, she's acting like in America we don't eat, like, chicken feet or fucking frogs or
exactly.
some shit.
Exactly. Like, so I don't...
That's okay.
I don't know. That makes her seem like she's never been there before. She's been there multiple times. You can't tell me you've never wandered into a store.
Yeah, definitely. No, I completely agree, but... Ronald was funny even in the grocery scene.
He was really irritated.
He was like, well, he was irritated, but he was also just grabbing just a bunch of random shit.
A bunch of things.
And she
that
was
didn't
like, like, what's your plan? Like, do you have a grocery list?
You need to have a meal plan of some sort.
Grabbing shit. And she's like, what? He grabs like a ton of meat. She's like, when'd you grab all this meat? Like,
yeah.
Then they go pay.
And he doesn't even have enough money for it. So Tiffany has to pick it up.
Also, he does a lame excuse of like, I didn't have my credit card.
I think he relies heavily on that.
But then, okay, even if that's right, Tiffany's like, don't you get your money when you're going to go to the grocery store to buy stuff? Like, that's like the first thing. Like, hey, keys, wallet. Okay, I'm good. Going to the store.
Yeah.
How do you just go without
the whole money? Thing was a mess. So they both had tension. There's Tiffany kind of freaking out about random things in the store. And then Ronald just being pissed. And then just grabbing unnecessary things. Like, there really isn't a plan of any meal.
Well, it was like, what, $200-$300 the groceries?
Around $250 American.
I'm guessing he was paying either cash or with his debit card or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was cash.
But it kind of worried me that he didn't have enough money to cover groceries.
I mean, that's how it is.
Kind of scary.
So he was short about $50. Tiffany paid the remaining. And
she wasn't a fan of that, right? She's already doing so much.
She's already paid for the tickets. I assume that he did not put in half of that.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that. So she's already, that's like to another level of being mad. Like,
I think it's just building.
It's like I literally just expect you to pay for fucking groceries and I still have to put in for that.
Exactly.
And I'm sure these plane tickets were not cheap.
No. Hell
for
no.
Three people,
international
are you
plane tickets
me?
Are not cheap. So they get back to the house. Ronald's unpacking. Tiffany's still picking at, you know, the items he bought, having a lot of comments about them. At that point, just let it go. It's in your house. She doesn't know how to cook a whole chicken. But then it starts kind of moving in a different direction. So instead of it being, these groceries are dumb, or you spent too much, or things like that, it turns into, you're unpacking all these groceries and you're cleaning, but you need to take care of both kids at the same time.
That's what she's testing them.
It's a test. I mean, the grocery store immediately was a test as well, but...
But she is so used to doing everything, she wants to put... It's almost like she's doing it from a point of, like, not retaliation, maybe?
You know, it is.
Of like, I do this all the time, you need to experience what
right
I
now.
Experience. And it has to be right now.
Here's my main question for this segment about them. Is it fair for her to have that expectation of him when he's having both kids for, like, a day so far?
I think the way she takes care of the kids in the U.S., that's almost like a known entity. Like, I don't have Ronald. I'm by myself. I need to make this happen for my kids. Like, you're in that mode. You have to make it happen. You know, as essentially a single mom at that point. Like, realistically, you have to make it happen.
Yeah.
When you're with Ronald, your mindset should probably more shift of, okay, hey, he can do X and X. You know, X and Y. I can do these things. And they're sort of now they're splitting the load versus her initially testing him on doing everything.
Yeah.
As a more of, you need to experience what I experience. Your mindset needs to sort of be for the family, for the group.
I think there needs to be a transition. But she also kept saying, like, I'm so tired. And she's probably jet lagged.
She honestly is probably extremely tired.
Yeah. So as someone that's real cranky when she's tired, I feel like I give her a little leeway on that. But man, I don't know if it's fair to think instantly that this person's just going to be the perfect parent and the perfect husband, and that he will know exactly what to do.
They have a little one-on-one. He kind of mentions, like, you got to give me a break. Like, I am taking all of this in, like, all at once.
And she's refusing that. She said no. Like, no one helps me.
Well, in Tiffany's side, you had Daniel, and what's Daniel, like 10, 11?
Yeah, something like that. 12?
You have had a lot of time to know that mode and be in that realm. Mm-hmm. Ronald doesn't have 9 years of having a kid to, like, be in that mode. Yeah. He's not fully, I guess, in the moment like that.
I don't
think
he knows how to do it. He doesn't know how to parent.
I mean, he's uncomfortable even changing a diaper. Like, he's
so,
just
okay,
not...
we did learn about that. So, the preview was, I'm not going to change a poo diaper. I have a wife. And then, oh, so pissed. What an asshole for Steven saying that. But we learned
his
later
way of
on.
Saying that. Was the absolute worst way
you
could
communicate that.
They couldn't have
been worse. He could have said...
It goes back to communication. It's always communication. Yeah. Why would you word it like that?
I have a wife to do it. Like, you work for me.
You're a fucking idiot.
No. So we learn in this episode, while he did say that, and that is absolutely inappropriate, especially as that is your daughter, it comes down to him being uncomfortable changing a poopy diaper of his little girl. And he feels like it's more appropriate for her mother to do that. Now, not saying I agree with it, but that's what his explanation was.
I wonder if a lot of dads face that.
I think so. I mean, I think that's normal. I think it's normal for mothers to worry that they're doing it correctly with their sons. Hmm. I just think it's new, you know? So right. I think that's completely normal. And he could have worded it like, hey, can you teach me this?
Do you think some of that could have been avoided if maybe they took like... Ronald took like a parenting class or something.
Okay, with all that's going on, that is not something he would ever do. He can't get groceries. He's not going to a parenting class.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Honestly, if he would have just said the reason he doesn't want to, and then, I mean, you're a parent, you have to, it doesn't matter. You just maybe stated the reason and said like, hey, maybe you can teach me, or can I watch you a couple of times? Like, or I'll do it and you can watch me. Like, again, well, communication. Okay.
God forbid anything ever happened to Tiffany. What the fuck are you gonna do then, dude?
His mom. I guarantee he would be like, these kids now live at my mom's.
Yep.
Cherry, Tiffany's mom would take those kids so fast.
Oh, for sure.
It's not gonna be like, Ronald's mom.
She's like, you're not fucking. Nah. She's gonna be like, this little girl's an American. She's staying here.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just kind of a lot of fighting towards the end of their segment about kind of what the expectations are of Ronald, what he's capable of doing, and Tiffany just continually repeating, like, you are doing nothing. And I don't think he's doing nothing. I don't think that's fair to say. He's trying, but I totally understand that he needs to do more.
Part of me now thinks he wants to help. He's just sort of lost in what's the most important thing to help at.
Yeah.
He's just... like, you know, he's like, he was just mopping because he's like, oh, that's just something I could help with right now, like this immediate moment.
I think
moment.
He spilled something.
And then I think he was like kind of cooking, and then she's like telling me he doesn't do anything, and I'm like, well, that's kind of rude. He's like,
yeah, dude. I just think, I got.
Oh, it's when Carly was crying on her. And
yeah, she was like, take her. This is what like, I have to deal with all the time. And he's like, no, I'm mopping. Like,
but I think he was mopping and he might have been cooking something.
No, he was just, he was putting groceries away.
Oh, gotcha, at that point. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm so torn because I'm like, yeah, he's such an asshole. And he talks about like, well, they're staying here no matter what. And basically
oh, for sure.
All this shit.
I mean, hey.
You've always been anti-Ronald.
First episodes of the pod, my displeasure for Ronald has been there.
But so. I don't think these expectations are fair to be instant dad of multiple children. I mean, he is a dad of multiple
children. You know
children.
Where she probably
I don't know.
Calls him out on?
What?
Because he like plays the part or wants to be that.
It's all talk.
Exactly.
And
I think he, you know,
now it's real.
He's like, hey, my boy. Yeah, this is your boy. We're going to do some parenting.
Oh, we always see Daniel having to take care of Carly, and that makes me sad. Like when she has to talk to Ronald, hey, watch Carly, but actually watch her. I'm like, when does he get to be a kid? Have his time. When is someone going to play with him?
I'm just imagining they just like, Daniel's just like playing video games because she's like, he got me a new controller. They're probably just like, go play video games while we
probably yell at each other, which is so unhealthy.
Kids hear all that shit.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. So that's kind of it for them. Tiffany's already threatening to go back before the holidays with her open-ended ticket.
Oh, my God.
That's not going to go well either.
So stupid.
It's just they need more understanding of each other and expectations. And that's not happening. And I don't see that happening.
Do you think she'll end up, a prediction, do you think she'll end up staying for the holidays?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I can see that.
As awful as they are to each other, I can see her staying through the holidays. Also, Tiffany says like, oh, I want a preview, or who says this? Wants a preview of who she's bringing back home. I think she said like, oh, I want to see, you know, this is the test. This is the true test. And I just keep saying you're already married to him and you have a kid with him. There's no test. It's done. Like you are in each other's lives.
Have they mentioned that before?
We've mentioned
it
multiple
times. No, the mom mentioned
it. Yeah, like, oh no, you already bought.
I was like,
yeah.
They're married and they have a kid. What are you talking about? This is like your last chance. I'm like, they're already married.
Yeah,
there is no testing or hey, check for red flags.
The transaction has happened.
That I don't understand these folks' like thought process on that.
All right, Mike and Natalie. This was super weird. Okay, Natalie was going to her friend's house that we never heard of before because we always heard, I have no friends, I have no one here. And then all of a sudden she has this really good friend in Washington that she met online.
Weird.
Weird, but can happen. That's fine. Juliana. We find out that she is talking to Juliana about having a nose surgery. She may have a deviated septum or something. It affects her breathing and particularly her sleeping. So she hasn't told Mike at all about the surgery, but it's next week. And something she says, which would fix a lot in her marriage, is maybe I should consider talking to my husband before I make decisions.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, and he should talk to you as well before he makes decisions, and just general communication, but you know.
Or even just, you know, tell him that day, hey, the doctor wants to schedule surgery for next week.
Yeah, and this is where it'll be at, and this is what time it is, but that's just too hard. I loved that Mike brought Juliana and Natalie flowers. Ugh, love that. That's a great move. The wife and the host flowers. So sweet.
It was...
But it was so tense. Everything was so tense.
It was really tense. And it's almost like, I don't even know if Natalie is like living in fear. Because she's like, I need a friend next to me if when I tell him this.
That's
news.
What it sounded like as well.
Mike to, like, what's Mike going to do?
I don't know. Maybe she... Yeah, I don't know. So it's when we can tell the surgery. Juliana's wearing a headband while Natalie is wearing a... It was very cute. I liked it. Natalie's wearing a flower wreath. When they were talking about the surgery and Mike was voicing his opinions, concerns, talking about how he'll be there for her, Natalie is completely zoning out with her mouth open and almost pouting. Weird. It was super weird. Like mid-conversation, she is not there. I don't even know what to make of that.
He's just telling her, hey, I'll be there. I'll take time off work.
Yeah, if she lets me know when it is, like, I'll make it work. And she's just nothing. Mouth open, zoned out, does not give a shit. And it's super weird for that to happen mid-conversation when someone's directly looking at you and talking. That's really strange. She's completely disengaged. That's kind of all that happens at the friend's house. They eat their food. Natalie doesn't know how to explain what it is, so she says, just eat it. Which is fine. He does. It seems totally fine. It's nice that she does have a friend and someone she can talk to, but man, she is talking to that girl way more than she's talking to her husband.
That's just going to be another, like, we kind of assume that they're not going to make it as a couple.
Oh, right? Yeah, there's no way.
And we're just seeing more and more instances of, like, what they do wrong, how they don't communicate.
How at this point, it's just about making points to the other person.
They don't solve problems. They hold on to...
Everything builds off of everything else.
Yeah, everything builds. They never... You know, Natalie does sorry, but then...
Like, she just says sorry for anything. Right. She doesn't know why she's saying sorry or that she is going to fix anything. And
I wonder if a lot of these problems initially start because... I'm calling out the Americans because they're the ones who are, you know, bringing people here. But if they sort of promise this sort of life,
I think that's part of it.
And the Natalie or whoever, they kind of imagine, like, wow, you know, we can, whatever my life is here now, when I get there, I can do this or do that.
Opportunities, and I can do anything.
Maybe when the relationship goes a little sour and they also don't see the things they expected to happen, whether it's their connection to the person or
lifestyle.
Or things they would experience with them. You know, they're like, hey, we'll go here, we'll do this, we'll do that.
These people meet their partners on the vacation version of themselves. No stress, no work, no schedule. We're going to enjoy everything together. And it's easy to fall in love with someone like that.
We're almost seeing when you really live with someone, like how they can really, not separate, but fall not in love, I guess.
Yeah, almost out of love.
Yeah, you're falling out of love, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to be seeing that on the show. Because you can see how they were in love, you know.
Like in Ukraine.
And how Natalie was.
The initial season.
When Mike went over there and visited, and they're so in love.
We won't talk about the end of that season.
Right. Which, just a little tiny segue of the Seeking Sister Wife show we're watching with the Garrett.
That's going to be
weird.
And
the Brazilian lady. You've only ever seen her on a vacation.
Yeah. Like, so not while he's working or while they're trying to run their family business, get the kids, schooled, because they do homeschooling.
And he's trying to do all of these forever life plans, like having a baby with someone.
Well,
before you've even trialed or brought him over or live with them. It's very, very strange.
Well, God will take care of it, and he needs to have no plans or preparations. Let me say something. You got to help God out. God gave you a lot of tools.
Right.
But you got to kind of make your own path. You can't just assume he'll take care
of
everything.
Every time he says something like that, the person he's talking to is always looks at him like, okay, I guess.
His poor wife will try to bring up her concerns. Like it doesn't matter.
Danielle, that's her name?
Right? Yeah. I did like the talking where he was like, you have to take care of her.
So yeah, going back to Mike and Natalie, man, it's not looking good.
No, they just need to split. So they're... doing car maintenance, Micah wants to show her how to check, kind of...
She doesn't do any maintenance in that whole scene.
She does not. Mike's showing her things and she doesn't care. She says, I don't even wash my car. It would destroy my nails and my hands.
I guess she always goes out in like rain boots, but you're not doing anything.
I guess it's kind of muddy at his property. So, I mean, why mess up other shoes? But she says, American women know how to do everything. And I could feel the sarcasm and backhandedness in that comment. God, we are just shit to her. American women, we're all whores. We can do everything. Fuck.
Also, she's got to stop this whole, not comparing, but just putting down everyone as a whole. Like, you're
besides her.
Yeah, besides her. Like, you're all together and you all suck.
I promise, girl. Like, you got some things to work on, too. No one's perfect. And then they start arguing about communication, which is strange. Because then it's just weird because you're arguing about communication and you're both miscommunicating during it. So it didn't matter. It was the same argument. Nothing changed. Natalie just starts saying sorry again, but she doesn't know why she's saying sorry and doesn't mean it. So it means nothing.
Mike, you could even tell how bad their communication is when Mike basically says, I feel left behind.
Yeah.
But he has to ask her, do you know what that means when I say I feel left behind?
Which is actually an amazing thing to ask.
And then
she know?
No, I think she said something wrong and he says no.
No, this is how I mean it. Which is, I think, perfect for anyone to say. Not even people from other countries to clarify with their partner, but anyone to clarify, hey, when I say this, what do you think that means? Because it could mean something totally different.
Yeah, and Mike basically says, you don't tell me things. You don't talk to me. I don't even know this person that she mentioned some other person. He's like, I don't even know who this person is.
Exactly. And it ended up being like the doctor's assistant or someone that set up her surgery.
And he's essentially saying, this is exactly what I mean by being left behind. Yeah. Being left out.
Yeah. Oh, and she doesn't care.
So bad.
She made it clear she did not care about him being left behind. That's the goal. Her entire goal is to not make this relationship work. It's to make him jealous and angry at this point. She wants him to end it. She doesn't want to end it.
Because if he ends it, she can say, well, he gave up on this. You know?
Yeah, not her. Yeah. She never gave up. Do you think... Okay, not even that. I'll just say it. I think Natalie lies a lot.
You think she's like a compulsive liar?
I think she lies a lot and she doesn't have anything to back it up. And so when the stories don't necessarily match up, she's real defensive and like, oh, sorry.
Did Mike say something like he just doesn't believe her?
Yeah. And I was I don't believe her either.
That's not a good look.
No, because she's been caught too many times, or she'll just push on weird shit that, like, didn't happen. I don't trust anything that she says.
That's weird.
And I still maintain his mom did not call her a hooker. Okay, last couple, Michael and his wife, who shall not be named. We see Michael playing soccer in the street with his friend Bodie. The boys are back. The goofballs are back. I love seeing them.
Oh, that was awesome seeing them.
It was.
They're doing good. It looked good.
Bodie, Peter, and Adi? A-D-E? Adi?
Yeah, I think it's Adi.
So the goofballs have the same reaction that Michael did basically to the breast reduction surgery. Yeah, how could you?
Yo, we need to have a goofballs podcast.
Oh my God, we should. That would be great.
No, like they need to make one.
They would have the best opinions. I would, they need a Patreon. Don't even do a free feed. I would pay for it. So they say, for the first time, you have stood up as a man. Are you going back as the old Michael or as an African man?
Wow.
They have some very strong opinions.
Wow.
Man, you know how Angela's the prideful bitch? They're hardcore African men.
Definitely. Man, they're really all about the big boobs thing, too. They mentioned that.
They were taken aback. Like, how dare she? That is the best thing ever.
I mean, doesn't Michael kind of allude that he's going to...
He's done, yeah. He said to himself, I'm going to live my life as a single man. But there's a glimmer of hope. Did you notice he is still wearing his wedding ring? I don't know if I should say glimmer of hope, because I'm really hoping he just leaves. So I don't know why I called it that.
I'm curious, if they go the divorce route, how's that all going to work out?
Okay, so it goes to Lou, her lawyer, and she says, I want to divorce him. So they go over what that means. So in her state, you leave the marriage with what you came in with. So she was fine with that, no problem. Yep. But then they talked about how the visa process would stop. And if they did get back together... She would not only have to go there and remarry him again, they would have to start the process all over again. It is not going to pick up where it already was in the process.
So it makes her pause and really think about...
This is like the first time she actually thought of it and what it meant and what the consequences are of getting married. You're truly done with this person.
So even she's at a point where she's sort of not 100% done.
Exactly.
Because she pauses. I mean, if you're done,
That's a non-issue.
File the paperwork. I'm done. Let's get the proceeds going. Yada yada. Yeah. No, she paused and was really, you know, and she didn't actually even tell the lawyer to like proceed with anything.
No, she basically was going to think about it.
You know what's funny? She must have a good relationship with her lawyer because he was giving her like some legit advice. Like, have you thought about everything? How do you guys, like, I think he was talking about their communication.
He said, tracking his phone will not help you emotionally connect. Amazing line.
I was like, man, this lawyer's really giving you some good insight and good advice.
Yeah.
As just a lawyer, just like, yeah, if you get divorced, this is what happens, you know?
Exactly. It wasn't just facts. It was also like, be better, both of you.
Now I'm just imagining she has used Lou or Lewis.
Lou.
Often for whatever.
I think this is the same lawyer that he was using or she had questions for when she was going to marry Michael.
Oh, I just imagine this is like her like official lawyer.
I mean, it sounds like it. Not a whole lot happens here. She's still yelling at him. Michael wants Michael, to live his Michael life.
Seems,
I'm very proud of Michael. He sounds.
Michael seems pretty, like, pretty over it, honestly. Yeah.
Back with the goofballs, hanging out.
Hmm.
I really. Just because I've not seen anything in the media about them being actually done, I assume they get back together. But then that makes me sad because that's like the whole abuse cycle. I just don't think they go through with the divorce, and I don't think that Michael goes through with being a single man or living his life as a single man.
I mean, they don't seem to be in a good place. So what's the plan? Like, oh, this isn't the person I'm supposed to be with.
The only way
with.
That it's going to get better is if Michael bows down to her, and he may. So it sucks. That's really it for them. Anything else on them?
No, I just, it's not going to be good for...
It's not going to be good for Michael.
They're not in this mode of, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. I mean, what's the end goal? Like, okay.
The end goal's a baby.
You get Mike over here and he just takes abuse in person. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't even want him to come anymore.
That's going to be like some bad TV of we're going to watch a person just get like put down a lot.
Yeah, and we've seen...
Or if he makes mistakes in America, she's going to give it to him hard.
Can you imagine him looking at a woman in America?
So, like, and he wants a kid. Like, unless he's been lying to his family, the way he talks about it and the way his family always brings it up, Angela's not going to give you a kid.
No.
We've talked about
and
this before.
She's made it almost clear now that she doesn't even want a kid.
She...
It almost seems... Okay, I mean, do you
Angela's
think she
Angela's already had her own
on.
Kids. She has grandkids. Dude, she's just not going
to... Do you think she was leading him on and lying to his family?
For sure.
So,
she was just sort of trying to, you know the kick the can down the road. You know, just,
we'll deal with it later.
We'll talk about it. We'll deal with it later. Yeah. But come on, man. And Michael, dude, you're naive and your family was naive for even thinking this is going to happen. This is not going to happen.
You know, I keep saying like, oh, maybe Mike doesn't even want kids. Michael, excuse me. He doesn't even want kids, so he doesn't even care. But as the season goes on and he keeps talking to Aunt Lydia, I'm like, okay, he probably really does. It's been multiple seasons now.
I don't even know if he's just lying because it's almost the expectation. So you have to answer it that way.
That's kind of where I was like, well, maybe he doesn't even want any, so he doesn't even care. Man, so I'm torn.
Know. You know, he knows. We don't know.
Yeah. That's kind of it for them. So the next time on, we have Jovi coming home, and that's kind of the only scene. We don't even see him seeing the new apartment. We also don't see him. So we still, on the last next time on, they teased it like it would be on this episode that we would see him and Yara at the strip club, but we still haven't seen that, so maybe it'll be on this episode. I didn't even see it on this preview. So I don't know when the strip club scene is happening.
That's true. Hmm.
So I don't know. We have Asuelu's mom and his sister Tammy coming for Christmas.
Does this look fake to you or not?
Okay, now that I watched it again, because I watched Pillow Talk, really it does look fake. It
looks so bad.
So
it's like the mom watched like a nighttime drama and she got some lines.
A telenovela.
Leave my family forever. I was like, oh my god, what?
So it's gonna be a mess. Brandon and Julia do get their own apartment, and Betty already has some spicy comments for them, so we'll see how it goes. They did not tell Betty and Ron that they got their own apartment, so I guess they'll drop this bomb on them when they show them the apartment.
He said that they've already signed the lease.
Yeah. Ooh. Which, you're almost 30 years old. You can do that without your parents.
That's true.
Whatever. Be an adult. Tiffany and Ronald are still arguing. Tiffany went to Ronald's mom behind his back to talk about their problems, and he's pissed.
I didn't have a problem with that.
I didn't either. You don't have anyone there, and you actually are kind of close with his mom. That's fine.
Yeah.
And maybe she can, not that she should, because, you know, everyone's adults, but maybe she can wake
that's
Ronald
more,
up
That's
a
more
bit.
it points more towards Ronald being insecure of like either who he is as a man or what he's doing as a father. Yeah. Because she's basically...
Can't let mom know.
Yeah. He's like, don't tell my mom that I'm a piece of shit person. Like,
yeah.
Okay, well, you're a piece of shit person.
Exactly. So I didn't have a problem with that. I think Tiffany and his mom had a good relationship anyway.
Totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, she stayed... Her bachelorette party... Her bridal shower was like so beautiful, and his mom and I think like his sister put it on for her as he was out with strippers and getting drunk right out of rehab.
Oh.
So yeah, she probably does trust his mom.
Oh wait, something we didn't even talk about. Does Ronald have a drinking problem or just the gambling?
So I think he did have a drinking problem as well. And I think he's continuing to drink because he said one comment that completely caught my ear, which was, I'm surprised there were any beers left.
Yeah.
As in, he probably just downs them.
That's not a good
thing. So I'm wondering if that's going to come up this episode as well, because maybe Tiffany saw the beer or something. But yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, he shouldn't have been drinking, and then his beautiful friends took him out drinking. So that was great.
Yeah.
Leave those friends. Natalie's surgery is happening, and she completely ghosted Mike. She didn't tell him where it is or what time it would be, and he's just kind of left calling places.
Goes to show you that they are not going to be a couple. Like, dude. Come on. How do you not tell your husband where you're having a surgery?
And that's, he finally so kind of breaks. He said, you're in or you're out. And it sounds like she's out. She finally packed, and she's pouting in the kitchen with her puffer jacket
on. I don't feel like I'm strong enough for this.
I mean, probably not strong enough for
this. You're not strong enough to send me a text of like where you're
like anything. I mean, I get if you're not close to the person, you don't really care that they're there. But why did you even, like, just why are you even doing any of this? Why are you living there? Why are you, go move in with Juliana. They have a huge house. I'm sure there's a spare bedroom. Just send it.
Oh, that's probably where she's heading too.
That's fine. Just do it. Michael's wife is threatening divorce again, so nothing new. Charlie and Andre are fighting again, but it's not the one that was previously teased. We have still not seen the fight that happens by the pool. This is a different verbal fight that happens at the grandparents' house, which is super embarrassing and uncomfortable, and that really, really sucks for Libby.
I'm going back to my original statement that all of these fights you watch, I have not seen a single real punch thrown.
Well, I think if they throw a punch, you're probably off the show.
No.
I think so.
No.
No, that can't be true because Angela definitely have swung on Michael before. No.
Definitely not. Not off the show.
That's just certain reality
show. I mean, maybe if you like, production or something or hit someone. No. No.
Hey.
That would be an issue.
On the duel and on Real World, you cannot throw punches.
That would be an issue between these two people.
Did you know that?
In this scene. I didn't, but...
See, so that's why I took that knowledge and I applied it to this, but it's probably not true. Because it's all scripted anyway. So yeah,
folks watching at home, unless we, like, a family fight, we see some punches thrown or something, even throwing Charlie in the pool would be more realistic than us hugging on the floor. So that's my...
I still maintain Andre would beat his ass in a second, and he took him down on the floor fast. Charlie did not have a chance.
Yeah, it's going to get spicy. I mean, talking shit in front of grandparents. Hey, man.
Oh, I know. Innocent grandparents. Hey,
man, we could talk shit between us, but come on, man. We got some
extended family. Yeah,
we got to
hold it together. I'm already calling it. Charlie fucking said something is stupid, and then Andre's just reacting. I don't think Andre started it.
Probably. This will be interesting. It will be very fun to watch the next episode.
Yes. So that's all we have. We hope you guys are staying cool if you are also dealing with the heat wave. Take care, have a good week, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.